It is great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. As it was said earlier, if you're visiting with us, you are very special in so many ways to us. We're honored to have you here. We're honored to have those who aren't able to be here, who's tuned in to our live stream. But we have a great crowd here today. Really, one of our bigger attendance since we've opened back up from COVID. So I'm proud of you. Thank you. We opened up our service this morning in song with "I Stand in Awe of You." And today I truly stand in awe of God, don't you? Let me tell you why today I stand in awe of God. It started in Bible class. We had a Bible class that, again, I love our Bible class. We're just taking sections of Scripture in the Bible, and we're talking about it. Today we chose Romans 12, 9 and following. We got through like two phrases, really just one, in verse 9. It was great participation. It really encouraged me. And then I come over to fellowship, and I see Conrad Carpenter. And he's not able to be here today, but he's here. You know, he's got a broken back. But he reached down, he hugged me, and he told me he loved me. Yeah, that's God, isn't it? And then as I'm singing the song, and Joseph did a great job, I look over and I see, whew, my emotions are really high. Sister Alma standing up. I know she's not able to. But she stood up because she stands in awe of God. You see, folks, if people aren't here, they don't see that, do they? That's why God is so amazing. It's why He's so awesome. And that's why we stand in awe of Him every day. People who aren't able. People who shouldn't be here probably. People who love. People who come to Bible class. People who cook and serve during fellowship. Who lead prayers. Cody stands up here and does a phenomenal job. Scriptures being read. All the things that are happening. I sure am glad I'm here. Today I'm going to start what I'm calling a new series of lessons for you, with you. And I've entitled it Slaying Giants. You know, Satan puts a lot of giants in our life sometimes. Giants that quite frankly try to prohibit us from being active in our worship, from being active in our congregation. For giving like we should. For doing for others like we should. For loving. That was our verse this morning. Let love be without hypocrisy. One version says, let love be genuine. You see, sometimes having that genuine love, we struggle with it. We struggle with participation. We struggle with serving. We struggle with giving and all. Because Satan puts giant obstacles in our path. Well, what I want you to understand through this series of lessons is that through God we can slay them all. This is inspired 100%. I thought about it last Sunday night. Last Sunday night, really last Sunday afternoon, was a great day here at Azalea City. Justin had been challenging us. We had an area-wide devotional. And we're not accustomed to worship on Sunday evenings because we increased our Sunday morning worship to make sure we're all here for everything. But we hosted the area-wide devotional. Justin challenged us to serve. He challenged us to be here. And there were so many people serving that people were getting in one another's way in the kitchen over there. And then I saw all these teenagers. And I heard them sing. Jason did a great job leading our singing. And I heard him sing out. And it's just a touch of heaven that you get to hear. But then Taylor came up and he spoke to us. And part of his lesson is based on their theme this year, which is unstoppable. That's the teenagers' area-wide themes. They're talking about being unstoppable through the blood of Jesus Christ. But Taylor in that lesson asks, what do we fear? And he based it on what Paul said to Timothy when he said, God's not given us a spirit of fear. Probably a better translation, and I agreed with Taylor with that, is God has not given us a spirit of timidity. In other words, we shouldn't be timid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be timid to speak up for Jesus. We shouldn't be timid to speak up and speak out and give and do these things. But sometimes we become timid because Satan puts obstacles, giants, in our path. Well, I told Taylor when he sat down beside me, I said, hey, I have a fear of giving blood. Some of y'all witnessed that one time in 2017. I go in, I've never been able to give blood because it does something, there's a trigger in my brain. Okay, let me tell you how God works. This is amazing now. There's a trigger in my brain that says, uh-uh, don't do that. And so I start getting lightheaded and such. I've never passed out, but I've gotten real close. And that day I was told, hey, we're going to have a blood drive here. You need to give, you need to give, you need to give. I said, you don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. I was in the room. My niece was right next to me, and I remember it vividly. And, man, it started coming. I said, I can't do it. And I had to run, jump in my car, and put my head between my legs so that I would not pass out in front of everybody. That was the last time I tried to give. Until your doctor says, you must give blood, right? My blood count is too high. You know, I've got a birthday tomorrow. Please celebrate the twins more than me because their birthday, we're birthday buddies. Celebrate them way more than me. Their birthdays are more special than mine at this age. But anyhow, the point being, I'm getting to that age where doctors are telling me things and they said, hey, your blood count's too high. I said, okay. I didn't do anything. I had my blood result. You need to give blood. So last Friday, I worked up my nerve. I text my wife. I said, hey, I'm sitting in the parking lot. Pray for me. It's just me by myself. I go in, and I let them know, hey, I get lightheaded with this. I don't do real well. They said, oh, you're going to be fine. 100% I was able to give it. But here's the funny thing about it. I found out, this is how God is. I have O negative blood. You know what that means? I can give blood to any of y'all in here and you can take it. So God said, see there, you overcome your fear, now you must give it more. Isn't that the way God works though? Isn't that how it works? He slayed that giant in my life only to say, now look at what I've given you, go do something with it. Folks, there's an obstacle, and I know that's silly, but there's a fear, there's an obstacle in your life right now that's holding you back. If you're not giving your best to God, Satan has put a giant in your life that through today, through this singing, through these prayers, through people loving you, through people encouraging, people being an example to you, we need to slay it today. Because let me tell you something. You see that first picture? The kids don't know who that is anymore, but that's Elmer Fudd. Elmer Fudd used to hunt Bugs Bunny. And Bugs Bunny was always craftier, more crafty than Elmer Fudd, and he could outsmart him and everything. But Elmer would always try to sneak up on Bugs Bunny. You remember that if you know Looney Tunes, like you were my generation or before. And he would always say in his tongue-twisted way, so to speak, that he would be very quiet because I'm hunting rabbits. Well, you're being hunted today. I'm being hunted today. But Satan is far craftier than Elmer Fudd. Satan, he may not tell you he's sneaking up on you, but he's somewhere near you. He's somewhere on the outskirts. You see, where he's described in that second picture up there as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, those words are not sugar-coated in the Bible, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? He said, he didn't say, hey, the roaring lion, Satan, he's looking and he's going to lick you to death. Now, you'd still be dead, but he didn't say, hey, he's gonna paw at you and eventually you're going to die. He said, he is going to devour you and me if we allow him to. We're warned about it. You see, Satan does not want you to live today. He wants you to die. He wants you to be miserable. He's put obstacles in your way, giants in your way, to keep you from being what you need to be so that he can devour you. But here is the third picture up there. It's found in John 10, verse 10, where Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that we would not die, so that we would live. He came and he slayed the giant so that we can live today. What is your giant? I don't know what your giant is. You may not know what my giant is. But what is holding us back today? Is it fear? You know, we talk about Revelation 21:8, Revelation 21:8, and we talk about liars. But do you know one of the first thing he points out in there is the cowardly? Are we afraid today to stand up? Are we timid today? Is it rejection? Do you feel rejected by the church? Do you feel rejected by somebody? Do you feel rejected by God? Is that the obstacle Satan's put in your life? Maybe it's lack of self-worth. I'm not worth anything. Nobody needs me. I'm not good for anything. See, that's a giant obstacle Satan's putting in your way, a giant problem. Maybe it's lust today. Maybe there's, you know, something in your life that's causing you to look at things and lust over things that you shouldn't, and that is a giant obstacle that's keeping you from living. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's another way of controlling the tongue. Maybe it's hate. Or maybe it's some other sin. Maybe it's the love of money. Maybe it's you just don't want to do it like Moses. But whatever it is, whatever giant obstacle, problem, sin Satan is throwing in front of you, it is not bigger than our God. And we're going to slay it today. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Samuel 17. I guess it's a tale, or not a tale, that'd be terrible. It's a story. It's a story that we have heard. If we've been in church a long time since we were babies. But today we're going to go back through the story of David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, to set the scene, it is Philistines versus Israelites. Philistia versus Israel. There is a war going on. There is a giant obstacle in the way of Israel being what God wants them to be, and it's the nation of Philistia. Specifically, there is a 9-foot man. You see, giants have always amazed us. Bo and I were watching something the other day when he said, giants have always... This guy, do not think, is a believer in the Bible. But he said, giants have always been something that has fascinated us. And it really is true. I mean, look how dinosaurs, they're fascinating. Why? Because they're big. And you know, there's mystique about them and all this. Well, giants are the same way. And giants have lived. But he said, I guess it comes from Greek mythology where this one had 100 arms and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, it comes from the Bible. It comes from God because giants roamed this earth at one time. Literal giants. And here is one that is in the army of the Philistines whose name we know is Goliath. He is 9 feet tall plus. 9 foot plus, this giant of a man who's never been defeated. And you know what he does? He comes out with one voice. He didn't come out with an army. This 9 foot man comes out and with one voice, with one shout, you know what he did? He shut down the entire army of Israel. Think about that. You think you're strong today, Israel? You think you're godly today? No, you're not. You're not strong at all. You're not godly at all. You don't have faith at all. Because one man who is, yes, a giant of a man, comes out, but one voice shuts all of you down. It shut them down so much that they went into hiding. It shut them down so much that some of them crossed over. Israel was on one cliff. There was a valley in between, and Philistia was on another cliff. Some of them crossed over, went down through that valley, everything else, crossed over to the other side and joined the Philistine army. One voice. That was a giant voice. But one obstacle. Now we know the story, right? We know Goliath falls. We know that he slayed. But listen to 1 Chronicles 24 through 8. Now it happened afterward that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines. At which time, hard name there, the Hushathite killed, another hard name, who was one of the sons of the giant. And they were subdued. Again, there was war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war at Gath. Goliath from Gath, remember? There was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, with 24 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. These were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of the servants. You know what that passage teaches me? Not only was Goliath no problem for God, but no other giant was either. All the giants we hear about from Gath in the Bible, God, through people, slayed them all. Today, do not give place to the giant in your life. Do not let the giant obstacle in your life shut you down. Today, we're going to destroy the giants that are in our lives. Serious question that goes with our series from last week. Do we believe that our God is bigger than your giant? Do you really believe that? Do you believe today that God is bigger than anything you can face? Well, if you do, then buckle up because we're going on a ride. This ride is going to happen to spell out today the word win. Because let's face it, we all want to win, right? W-I-N. It's an acrostic for this word, win, that we're going to talk about today. And here is point number one. We are not David. Turn back to 1 Samuel 17. Let me tell you the story that gets up to where we are. David is sent by Jesse, his father, to take care of his family. That was his job. You go and you take care of the men, the brothers, who are fighting in this war. Take them food, take them supplies, take them whatever they need. So that's what David does. He gathers up all the supplies they need. He gets to the battlefront, and you know, he probably didn't see his brothers fighting, right? Why? Because one voice has shut them all down. But while David's there, you know what he did? He heard. He heard this giant come out and say, "I'm going to destroy you all. Send anybody out here. I'm going to destroy them, and then I'm going to own you. We're going to own you." And all of a sudden, once he said that, maybe it was a booming voice, maybe they could hear it throughout the valley, whatever it was, but he came out, he said those things, and guess what? They were afraid. So David goes there and he delivers the supplies. You know what the people needed that day? They needed a hero. They needed somebody to step up. The people needed a Savior. The people needed hope. Jesus was sent by the Father to take care of His people, right? What did we need? We needed a hero. We needed a Savior. We needed hope. But you know, when we look at the story of David and Goliath, so many times throughout our lives, throughout history, you'll hear small little teams taking on big teams. It's David versus Goliath. We all put ourselves and make ourselves David in the story. But here's what you don't see. We're not David. We're not David. Today, I want you to remember that David belonged to God. Today, I want you to understand that David, yes, he was David, but he wasn't David that day. He was a message delivered by God. Today, you may think of yourself as you, but you're not you. If you have been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, your old life is dead. You are now Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. So today, we're not Terry, we're not filling your name, we're not David. We belong to God, and we are instruments of His. Remember that 40 was always significant in the Bible. It's one of those significant numbers. 40 days it rained. What happened after 40 days? There was a rainbow, right? There was a promise. 40 years they were in the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness. What happened after 40 years? They entered the promised land. Listen to verses 16 and 17, 1 Samuel 17, beginning verse 16. And the Philistines drew near and the Philistine drew near and presented himself, you guessed it, 40 days. 40 days of rain. Then there was a rainbow. 40 years of wandering. Then there was the promised land. 40 days, the giant came out and shut Israel down. Verse 17, I love this. I underline the word, then. He presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dry grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp." 40 days Goliath stole all their hope. He brought all their fear. And now the Son is being sent by the Father on day 40. God showed up. God delivered them from the giant on day 40. Today, if you have been wandering, today, if you have an obstacle in your life, today, if you've tried to take it on by yourself, remember this, we're not David, and today is day 40. Let this be your day 40. 1 Samuel 17, 46, David tells the giant, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp to the Philistines, to the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This day, August 20th, 2023, this day, let's kill your giant. Better yet, let's allow God to kill your giant. This is the day to be victorious. Notice that David said he is not doing it. It's going to be the Father doing it. Maybe we've been slinging our sling on our own. Maybe we've been out there trying to throw pebbles ourselves at this giant in our lives. We've been trying to chip away at this giant obstacle that's holding us back in our lives. But today, we must allow God to sling the stones. Secondly, we want to win. We got to remember that we got to be influenced by God. Again, in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath, he's standing out for 40 days, cursing and taunting and mocking Israel and mocking their God. Think about that. But isn't that what Satan's doing? He's cursing, he's taunting, he's mocking God. And he's trying to get you to stumble because we're trying to be David or some other Israelite in the story. But we need to remember, David didn't belong to David. David belonged to God. Who do you belong to today? That's right. 100%. She said it, right? She said, we belong to God. So let's kill the giant. If we are influenced by God today, we will slay the giant. What was David doing before his father sent him? Oh, that's right. He was out shepherding. Probably spent a lot of time in pastures, right? Probably spent a lot of time in open fields, allowing these sheep to graze, allowing these sheep to drink, allowing these sheep to wander, and then going and getting them, warding off lions and bears. Do you know what else he was doing? We know for a fact he was worshiping. He was worshiping. He was writing psalms. He was praising God through his heart and through his lips. He recognized, David did, that power didn't come from his shepherding. It came from the good shepherd. God wants us to be free from giants. He wants us to be free from any giant that's in your life right now, whether it's great, whether it's small, or in between sizes. He wants you to be free. And we can all ask God to make us free, but not for our own glory. It must be for His. We need to allow God to remove the giants in our lives so others will say, wow, your God truly is the only God. Listen to what David said to the giant in verse 47. Then all this assembly will know. Remember, he just told him, he said, this day God will deliver you. I'll cut your head off. I'll feed your body to carcasses, the carcasses of all these people, to the birds of the air, etc., etc. He says, then, after all that happens, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword. The Lord does not save with the spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. David didn't do this for his own glory. Oh yes, David got glory later, but he didn't do it for his own glory. He showed up at just the right time. And God used him to go out into this battle. But in this battle, he was so influenced by God that he said, this victory will not be for me, it will be to bring glory and honor to God Almighty. We are not David. We belong to God. Because we're influenced by God. And then finally this morning, you know what that means? When we understand that we belong to God, we're influenced by God, it means this, there will be no more giants. If I'm going to win over the giants in my life, I've got to allow God to do the fighting. Suppose, if you will, you came across a rattlesnake and you killed that rattlesnake. You know what would happen if the snake were to sit there? It would decompose. But do you know that 6 months later, if you stepped on the dead carcass of that rattlesnake, there would still be venom injected into your body? What's the point? Suppose we're here trying to praise God, but we still have the giant laying around in our life. If you're here praising God and singing these songs and praying these prayers and taking communion and listening to these words and doing all this, but you leave out of here still allowing the giant to be in your life, there's still poison in the body. It's still dangerous. My son is a lot bigger than me now. There was a time when I could be Goliath and he could be David. And one of our evening devotionals, one night, we would act out the stories. And so it just so happens I would let them pick a lot. Madeline's probably over there cheering it on, you know, do a little bitty thing. But both said, let's do David and Goliath, Daddy. I said, okay. VBS, man. You know, I'm in VBS mode. Man, he goes and we wad up some paper, you know, as the rock. And Goliath comes out and I was probably B-5-O-fumming it, you know, with the best of them. And he winds up and we didn't have a sling, but he throws it. He hits me in the head with it, you know. And I do this dramatic, I mean, like Oscar award winning fall. And, you know, Mama's probably over there, yay, and Madeline's yay, and it's all over and everything. I jump up and say, hey, great story, great job. He said, both puzzled. I said, what's the matter, buddy? We just acted out the story. He said, I didn't get to cut your head off. David didn't leave the giant laying. Do I think Goliath was dead when he fell? Yep. In fact, it says he fell dead. I believe when he hit him with the rock, Goliath was dead. Goliath had fallen. But David took no chances. He took the sword just like he prophesied he would. And he cut the giant's head off. Why did he cut the head off? To show that the enemy that had the big mouth would never taunt God's people again. Today, you cannot let the giant lay around in your life. You must slay the giant by cutting the head off. In 1 Samuel 5, it's another great story. Again with the Philistines. You know what they had done? They had captured the Ark of God. You know what they did arrogantly? They took the Ark of God, and they took it into their temple. and they put it before their god Dagon. Like, Dagon has delivered us this great victory today. Thank you, Dagon. They were so happy and so just confident and arrogant that they left it there all night. So they come in the next morning and they find old Dagon. Dagon had fallen on his face before the ark of the Lord. They still weren't deterred though. They got him up, did whatever they could to set the idol back up. Maybe it was an accident, right? He just fell over. Even though that was kind of weird, we still won. We got the ark of God. Thank you, Dagon. So they let it sit there all night again. Sure enough, the next morning, they come back in, and old Dagon had fallen again. This time, you guessed it, his hands, but his head, had been broken off. It had landed on the threshold so that whenever the Philistines would walk in, they knew instantly, no God, no giant, no enemy can stand before the true God. Today, whatever is holding you back, it can't stand before our God. Today, it's time to surrender. It's time to say, I can't do this anymore. You're not David. You belong to God. Be influenced by Him. And never, ever let a giant stand before you, holding you back again. Today, if you have a need, you need to become a child of the King. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.